John chapter 16, our main passage that we'll read will be from John 16, but I'll also have some verses to read in John chapter 14 and 15. This is a sermon entitled The Spirit of Truth. We're going to focus on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit tonight. So let's read, shall we, beginning in chapter 14. Let's read verses 15 through 17 first, and then I will lead you to the next passage at the appropriate time. This is God's Word. It is His most holy, inspired, inerrant Word, and so we want to hear His Word. We want to heed His Word. Let's pray for the help of the Holy Spirit as we read the Word. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for Your Word, this final Word that You've spoken to us, this Holy Scripture. We thank You for the Bible that we have in our hands, in our own language. We praise You that You have given it to us, and You have watched over it in its writing, in its being formed, and in its preservation. We're so grateful, Lord, that we still have Your Word to us today. And as we look at it, help us to be reminded that it is the very Word of Jesus Christ, and that it's the Word that takes us to Jesus Christ, that the Spirit is pleased to use to teach us of Jesus Christ and to take us to Jesus Christ. And we pray that You would illuminate our minds to understand, open our ears to hear, prepare our hearts to be fertile so that the things that we learn and we hear from You might cause us to grow, might cause us to be transformed, might change us. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in John 14, verses 15 through 17. These are some of Jesus' final words as He's going the way of the cross. Jesus says in verse 15, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." And then chapter 14, verse 25 and 26. The Lord Jesus, still speaking, says, "These things I've spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And then in chapter 15, if you'll look and read, if you'll follow with me in chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning." And then finally, in chapter 16, let's begin in verse 5 and read through verse 15. "I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to Him who sent Me, and none of you asks Me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see Me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of Truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Amen. What we want to see in this passage is we want to remind ourselves of that these are the last words of Jesus. There's some of Jesus's last words as he's talking to his apostles, his disciples, his 12, as he goes the way of the cross. And these are his final words, the very important words. John records these words in a way that focuses on particularly the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And so we learn a great deal about the person and work of the Holy Spirit from particularly these chapters of John, John chapters 14 through 16. We learn of more of who he is and what his ministry is, if we put it that way. We want to understand that as Jesus is going away, his disciples have come to love him very much. And they've come to see him as their teacher, and they've given up their families and their lives. They've denied themselves, and they've taken up their cross and followed him. And they haven't understood everything that he's been teaching them. But Jesus is telling them that I'm going away from you physically, but it is for your advantage. And of course, as they are realizing, they're not going to be able to touch the word of life. They're not going to be able to eat with the word of life. They're not going to be able to ask questions of the word of life. You can imagine that they are sorrowful. And Jesus tells them here in chapter 16 that he realizes, verse 6, as the compassionate Savior, that sorrow has filled their heart. And our Lord Jesus knows us deeply, and he's compassionate with us. He knows when our hearts are sorrowing. But he tells them in verse 7, it is for your advantage that I go away, because I send the Holy Spirit to you, that I'll send the Holy Spirit and he will be my true and real and spiritual presence in my physical absence. The Holy Spirit will be the true and real spiritual presence of Christ in Jesus' physical absence, until the return of Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit's ministry is primarily about being that Spirit of Christ from the Father to the people of God. And I want to look at this in two phases, because I want us to understand first that this message, particularly in chapter 16, verses 5 through 15, are have a priority in that they're written first to the apostles, and we want to understand that. And then secondly, they're written to us or to all believers. So first, they're being written, these truths are being told to the apostles in their special office as apostles, and that the Spirit will have a particular ministry in their lives with regard to making Jesus known. And this is the first priority. Then there are secondary application that would be to all Christians, to us tonight. But what Jesus is saying to them, first of all, is that the Spirit of truth will come as a helper. And what will he do? Well, first of all, let me point to verses 12 through 14. The Spirit is a Spirit of truth as he particularly declares or proclaims Christ. The Spirit is a Spirit of truth as he particularly proclaims or declares Christ. This verb declare is used three times. Verse 12, Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He understands that they are still limited in their learning at this point. There's still some of the things that they're slow to understand, what the prophets have spoken. But when the Spirit of truth comes, then that Spirit will guide you into all truth. And the Spirit will speak, not for himself or draw attention to himself. He will not speak on his own authority, but what he hears from the Father and the Son, he will speak and will declare it, the things that are to come. And then verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And then 15, all that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So notice three times that the Spirit is a Spirit of truth that particularly is one who preaches or proclaims or makes known the truth about Jesus Christ. That's a very important point to make about the Spirit and his ministry. When Jesus would go to the right hand of the Father in his resurrection, in his ascension, his exaltation, he would receive the Spirit in full, and then he would pour out the Spirit on his people, beginning on the day of Pentecost. We see this in Acts 2. And the Spirit would continue his ministry first with the apostles. And with the apostles, what he would do is he would continue making known the truths about Jesus. And I want you to see that the Spirit's ministry is primarily one of declaring truth about Jesus, taking truth from Jesus and making it known. So it's an ongoing revelation of God's revealing of Christ, an ongoing revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's not just the revelation, it's not just the truth that the apostles know about Jesus up to this point, that it will be ongoing revelation that they will receive about Jesus and about the future. To put it in another way, this declaration, this guiding into all truth that's first for the apostles is what we call apostolicity. It's what we mean when we confess with the church as we did tonight. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. What do we mean by the apostolic church? But that we believe in that authority that is founded on the apostles' teaching. Another way of saying it is, the apostles are the ones who will be the Spirit's instruments for completing the Bible as we know it. They will complete the canon as we know it, or at least supervise the completion of that canon, what we call the complete Bible. And so that's why Jesus is saying it's not just things that you've heard that will be brought to your remembrance, but it's things concerning the future. Look at verse 3:13. Whatever he hears, the Spirit hears, he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. And so you might think immediately, you should, of John himself, who receives this and then is able to, through the Spirit's guidance, write the Gospel of John, but also later in his life, write the book of Revelation and give all kinds of details to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so it's important when we're talking about the Holy Spirit continuing the ministry of Jesus with the apostles in that first phase, it has to do with apostolicity. It has to do with the canon. It has to do with the completion of the New Testament. But we have to remember that Jesus was God's final word. And so the implication here, in light of larger scripture like Hebrews 1:1-2, is that what the Holy Spirit will reveal about Jesus will have an end. In other words, there'll be a final word that's spoken, that is recorded as Holy Scripture, that will be Holy Scripture. It's what we call the 27 books of the New Testament. But in Hebrews 1:1-2, we're told that long ago and at many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And this is to stress in this passage, to stress the finality of that word of the Son. That there was this ongoing revelation that God spoke through the prophets until the coming of Christ, and then that revelation would have an end. It was a finality to it. It's a finality. They spoke finally in the Son. And so what Jesus is saying here, comparing Scripture with Scripture, is that that final word that Jesus will speak is not just what he told them on earth, but what he will inspire through the Holy Spirit as they complete the canon, that final word of God. And so here is very important, a word that we want to reserve for the apostles. And that word is, this is the Spirit's work of inspiration. Just as Jesus, when he came in the flesh, had a book that had been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had not only inspired that book, but the Holy Spirit had preserved that book. And Jesus recognized that this was the book, the work of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying, this final word I'm speaking to you about myself, about my ministry, about what is to come, is your work, saying this to the apostles, is your work. You'll be inspired. He will guide you into all the truth. And that all the truth doesn't mean all comprehensive truth that we could possibly fathom or imagine. It means all the truth that God wants the church or the world to know about Jesus Christ. And so it's got boundaries. It's got an ending. It's all the truth with regard to God's revealed truth and what he's pleased to reveal in the canon of Holy Scripture. And so verse 13, speaking of the apostles, he's the Spirit of truth. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth, that he will direct you. He will, in a supernatural way, not only bring to your remembrance, but also give you further revelation. He will further further reveal, further make known the truths about Jesus that God wants the people to know. And his authority is not his own. He's pleased to speak of Christ from the Father. The second thing he desires to do in this, and very important we understand this about the Holy Spirit, is verse 14, he will glorify Christ. You know, everything in the Scriptures is with an eye toward Jesus Christ. Everything that's written is about Jesus Christ ultimately. You know, that's how you know the Spirit is at work in your life, is that you're not overly self-introspective and looking inward, nor are you looking outward. It's you're looking to Christ. That's how you know a Spirit-filled person. That's how you know you've heard a Spirit-filled teaching or a Spirit-filled sermon, is that you've been pointed to Jesus Christ. You know a little bit more about Christ, and you've been taken to Christ. Christ has come to you through the Holy Spirit's work, through the Word, and you have been taken to Christ. That's how you know. He will glorify me, verse 14. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit's all about putting the light and the focus and the glory on Jesus Christ as the one who united himself for our humanity, to lay down his life, to die for us and to be raised for us, to earn our salvation for us. And the Spirit particularly desires to apply that to sinners as they're coming to be saved and to make them understand more fully, more deeply through his work what that means. What that means for us. It's like Paul says in his prayer in Ephesians 1. It gets at what the Spirit does in the way that he takes from what we know about Christ and causes us to understand it more deeply. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul's praying and he says that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and of revelation in your knowledge of him, that you'll understand more about him, what is written, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called and what are the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints. And so let me make a distinction here, as I said in the beginning, between two phases. The one phase that is the apostolic phase and the second that is for the whole church is, if the apostolic phase is foundational, and it should be, the apostolic phase is speaking of the once and for all written revelation of God in the Scriptures, the authority. When you're talking about somebody being apostolic, then what you should be referring to, if you're talking about another Christian or a teacher, particularly if they're apostolic, they're those who are biblical. They're those who are seeking to make the truth that the Spirit made known to the apostles known. In other words, they're not looking to themselves for authority. They're looking to the apostolic word, the apostolic Spirit, as their authority. Just as the Spirit does He doesn't speak on his own authority. He speaks on the authority of Christ. So in that first phase, apostolicity, or the foundational authority, or we want to understand that is the work of inspiration. The second work of the Spirit that is for all of us that I've mentioned is the work of illumination. It's where the Spirit will work in us to help us to know more fully the truths that have been written, what has been revealed to the apostles, what has been recorded in Scripture, and then how helping us to go deeper and know more fully the revelation that's given by God. Let me explain a couple of ways. Like he says, he will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. That certainly means in phase one that he's going to glorify Christ by coming to complete the canon of Scripture. And it certainly means that he'll take the truths of Christ and make it known. It certainly does. But in a secondary way, we need to remember the word illumination. Because illumination is not the same as inspiration. Inspiration, apostolicity is foundational. Everything else is us depending upon the Holy Spirit to understand that truth. Let me put it this way. The Spirit authored the truth. The Spirit has revealed the truth. And so the Spirit, for all believers, helps us to understand that truth. He doesn't give further revelation than what's already in the apostolic foundation. He gives further understanding of the revelation that is foundational on the apostolic foundation. I said that twice, but the foundation. He gives us a further, deeper understanding in this term illumination. So he takes from Christ, he declares it to us, and he works with the word, particularly to make that known. So he will illuminate the Scriptures when we're reading them. We should pray for that. He can illuminate the Scripture when it's being preached. He can illuminate the Scriptures at various times. And we know particularly that he's at work when our eyes are opened more fully to behold the beauty and the glory of Jesus Christ. And more fully can we see our need of him and his love for us. And more fully can we know that he is with us. Though he is at God's right hand, he's with us by the Spirit. And that's what the Spirit wants to do in believers. He takes what is mine and he declares it to you. So in verses 13 through 15, I want you to understand that there are two distinctions you want to make. You want to see first Jesus' message to the apostles, and that being foundational with regard to inspiration. And then, secondly, you want to see that as an application, an implication for all the church based on that foundation that has to do with the Spirit's illuminating power of how he's going to reveal Christ more fully through the Word. That's why it's so important to remember the Spirit is not tied to the Word. He's not tethered to the Word in a sense that he loses some of his sovereignty. You know, he chooses, he's pleased to use the Word. He's the author of the Word. He's the authority from which the Word comes. And so he's also the one who wants to use the Word to build the faith of God's people, to change their hearts. He's at work when we become believers in taking words on a page and using them to make us alive while dead in trespasses and sins. He's one that can cause us to look and realize that this is the Bible. You know, there are books that we can read on the formation of the canon, and I recommend highly to you F.F. Bruce's classic, Are the New Testament Documents Reliable? An excellent book on the formation of the canon. But at the end of the day, tracing the formation of the canon will not regenerate hearts. Only the ministry of the Holy Spirit will cause the Word to be seen as the Word of truth. It's like the arguments for the existence of God. They're helpful arguments that we can hear and even build up our faith. But at the end of the day, only the Spirit of truth can regenerate us and cause us to believe in the true and living God. In the same way, the Spirit is it the work in what's called self-authenticating. He authenticates the scriptures as the inner teacher. When we're made alive with Christ, he uses the word, and then he further helps us to understand that when we're reading the Bible, this is God's word. How do you know that? The Spirit has made that clear. The Spirit has revealed the deep things of God, as 1 Corinthians 2 says. So even though that history is most important, it is even more important to understand that the Spirit must self-authenticate. That is, he must, from a work of regeneration, a work of illumination, cause us to see that this is the very Word of God. He convinces us of that, ultimately. No one else can convince us of that. And that's important. Now, one of the things I want you to see that's so sweet about the Spirit and His person, His ministry, is that it's the Father and the Son both who are involved in His sending. You know, if I ask you, what was the greatest gift that God the Father has ever given? I bet most of us would say the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would be true. But another gift that I think we often forget about is that the Lord Jesus Christ was given as mediator so that we could also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is the Father's gift to us. That's how the Lord Jesus refers to it. And sometimes there's a little confusion. There's been a historical debate about the Spirit proceeding from the Father or from the Son. But here is the way, if you look at verses or chapters 14, 15, and 16, you take everything together, what you get is something like this. Very simply, that the Spirit proceeds both from the Father and the Son. But it could be said, perhaps from the biblical data, more like this. The Father sends the Spirit who proceeds from Him, and He's pleased to send the Spirit particularly through the mediation of Jesus Christ. And so, at times, Jesus Christ will say, the Father, the Spirit proceeds from the Father, but then He'll say that the Spirit, I will send the Spirit from the Father. If you notice, look verse chapter 14, verse 15. He said, verse 16, I will ask the Father. So that's Christ Jesus in his work of mediation. That's in His office as mediator. In other words, He's asking the Father, based on His completed work for His people, that the Father will now grant that gift to His people. So it's that way that we understand that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. It's from the Father, if you will, as the initiator of eternal salvation, but it's through the Son that He mediates that Spirit, His Spirit. Another place, if you notice, in verse 26 of chapter 14, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. That's another way of getting at what it means to say that the Spirit proceeds from both the Father and the Son, is that the Father, yes, He proceeds from the Father, but particularly He sent in Jesus' name as mediator. To put it another way, we would have no Holy Spirit or no communion, no union, no communication with God the Father apart from Jesus Christ. And we certainly would have no Holy Spirit without the mediation of Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit is mediated, if you will, through the Father. Another passage, if you will, is in verse 26 of chapter 15, verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. So notice Jesus says that He's going to send the Helper, the Spirit, from the Father. Again, He's mediating the Spirit to the people of God, who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me. He will bear witness about me. So that is a historical argument that's been going on for a long time. People have questions about it. Is it just the Father He proceeds from? Is it the Father and the Son? I would argue that it is true to confess, as we did tonight with the Nicene Creed, that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. But I think it can be nuanced in this way, especially with these three passages, that the Spirit proceeds from the Father through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ to His people. And that's the blessed benefit we have of having the Holy Spirit tonight. So, beloved, here's the two things that we would want to take from this passage tonight. Number one is that we have the very word of Jesus Christ. We have everything that we need to know about Jesus Christ that the Father wants us to know through the Holy Spirit, that He has led the apostles, as He promised to do, to lead them into all truth, to be the preacher and declarer of Jesus Christ and His revelation. Not just bringing to the apostles' memory what He had already taught them. He did do that. But He also gave them further revelation that would then make up what we call the New Testament. The second thing is just the privilege we have of having the Holy Spirit to help us to read and understand the Scriptures. That we look down, and this is more than just the Word of men. This is the Word of God. And there's a spiritual light that comes from it. And it's all from the work of the Spirit. And we should always be praying for more of the Holy Spirit to understand, just as Paul does over and over in his letters. He prays that we'd have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you'd know the hope that is your calling, the incomparably great power for us who believe. He would pray that we'd know the love of Christ more deeply in its breadth and its height and its width, its depth, to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit's always taking from Christ and making it known to us, always taking us to Christ. And beloved, this is how we want to live as a church and what we want to expect from teaching ministries here, preaching ministries here, and everywhere where the name of Christ is proclaimed. And that is that we would hear of Jesus Christ. Sirs, we would see Christ. We want to see Christ. We want to hear about Christ. We want to know about Christ. And when we've sinned, we want to know He's a faithful Savior who's given us the greatest gift, not only in giving up His life, but giving up His life in order that we could be forgiven and receive the Spirit of truth. So when you're thinking next time about the benefits and blessings of being a Christian and you think the Lord loves me because He laid down His life for me, keep thinking about that. But go to the next step too and say the Lord loves me and laid down His life for me and was resurrected and ascended and enthroned at God's right hand so He could give me this precious gift of the Holy Spirit so that I could be God's temple, the place where God dwells, so that I could see through His authentication, that this is the very Word of God. This is not like any other God, any other word, any other book. And that I could hear His voice when I read it and when He preaches through a minister. That I could see His glory when He's held out to me. And so we pray for more of the Holy Spirit because He loves to glorify Jesus. He loves to take what is Jesus's and declare it to us. And Jesus confirms this. He says, all that the Father has is mine. I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. And so we want to know that the Spirit's work is primarily of taking Christ to us through the Word and then bringing us to Christ through the Word and through the means of grace, through prayer. There's nothing good in us, beloved. There's nothing good that we've ever done that hasn't been the result of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The Holy Spirit applies that wonderful work of Christ to make us His disciples, to clothe us in the beautiful, righteous garments of Jesus Christ, so that we can stand before the Father as His dear children, so that we can hear the Father say to us tonight, "You are my beloved children, with whom I'm well pleased." Let us close in prayer. Our Father and our God, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus, and we're thankful, Lord Jesus, for Your Holy Spirit. We praise You for being part of Your one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We thank You for the apostolic ministry, that authority of the Holy Spirit that's found in Holy Scripture. We thank You that we are those who recognize that Word as being the very Word of God because of Your work. We're thankful that You're the one, Holy Spirit, who has united us to Jesus Christ by faith. And we pray that You would help us to know more that incredibly great power as You work in us. And We pray that we would particularly know that power of knowing Christ better, more fully in our lives. Give us holy pantings and aspirations after Christ's likeness, we pray. Give us a holy longings and desires where our hearts want only Jesus Christ. Let us be as the apostles after Moses and Elijah disappeared, that all they saw was Jesus only. Help us to be those who see Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the majesty, at the right hand of the majesty on high, so that he could pour out his spirit on us. Help us, O Lord, to understand inspiration better and to acknowledge your authority in it and to know illumination and our need for your spirit. For the natural man does not consider the things of God. But the Spirit gives spiritual things to spiritual people. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all the church said, Amen.